Okay, here we're going to begin in the second parak on the bottom of Lamed Aleph Amud Bet. Here the Mishnah is going to describe Har HaBayit, and slowly it's going to maneuver around. We're going to deal with the Mizbeach, and then eventually with the Azara itself and the layout of the internal Azara. Today we get a much bigger or broader picture of the layout of Har HaBayit. So the Mishnah begins, Har HaBayit Haya, Hei Meot Amal, Hei Amot Amah, was 500 Amot of 500 Amot. And this description that we find in Midot is testimony. Most likely, as the Gemara says from Eliezer ben Yaakov, we'll see today in one of the Mishnayot, which indicates that he must be the author of these Mishnayot in Midot. The testimony seems to be about the final Mikdash that Herod had done after he did all the Shiputzim, the renovations of the Mikdash to its final size, the final platform size, which would be 500 Amot, al 500 Amot. Now, this next piece of the Mishnah is interesting. It says, Rubomin adarom, the way the Har HaBayit laid out, with regards to where the Mikdash was on Har HaBayit, the majority of empty space was towards the south of Har HaBayit. Sheni lo min ha-mizrach, there was more space on the eastern side. Then Shlishi lo min ha-tzafon, then on the northern side there was space. And then Mioto min ha-marav, and the least amount of space was on the west. That means that the Mikdash on Har HaBayit was skewed northwest. It was skewed northwest, the furthest to the west and north, and not centered on Har HaBayit. Makom she'arov midato shema yarov tamshishmo. Where there was more space in Har HaBayit, that's where more of the usage came. Many of the Rishonim here discussed the issue of why this was. They said that the main entrance of the Mikdash was from the southeastern side. And what's interesting about that is that was definitely true in Bayit Rishon, because Ir David is found to the southeast of Har HaBayit, mostly east, a little bit southeast of Har HaBayit. So that make a lot of sense that the main entrances to Har HaBayit were from the eastern side and the southern side. By the time you get to Bayit Sheni, not only do you have the lower city, or Ir David, you also have what's called the upper city, or today's modern day, the Rov HaYehudi, the Jewish quarter. That area above was probably the main area of living by that time, or where Yerushalayim expanded to. And that made that the western and southern sides were the main entrances to the Mikdash. Yes, probably the southern side still, but a lot of the western side, that's what you see today, Wilson's Arch and Robinson's Arch, which were staircases in one case, and a ramp that crossed all the way over to the Rov HaYehudi, which is a bridge that allowed them to cross directly from the city without having to enter the valley. You also have the main thoroughfare, which they've dug up now, you can see, down in front of Har HaBayit. Those thoroughfares that they walked on were major parts of the city. And therefore the entrance was more from the western side. Others say that it was the ability to enter or give more doorways from that side. The real reason, I think, and I'll send out, probably try to send up some pictures of this, has to do with the topography of Har HaBayit. The topography of Har HaBayit is that the mountain is not centered on where Har HaBayit is today. Shlomo HaMelech built the Mikdash on Har HaMoriah. He had to do a little of what Herod did to square out the mountain. You can't build a Bayit or Beit HaMikdash on top of a mountain, which is pointy. You have to have a flat surface. You have to create that flat surface. As we discussed before, the bedrock underlying Har HaBayit gets higher and higher as you move to the north. In the southern side, it's the deepest, and on the western side. On the northern side, it comes up, the bedrock comes up and up. If you go through the tunnels by the Kotel, all the way at the side, you can follow the bedrock, it's climbing as you go along there. The northern side, you can enter Har HaBayit from a level area. If you come through Shar HaRayot and enter over there, make a left turn, you're looking directly into Har HaBayit. You are level with Har HaBayit. On the other side, if you go to today where they have the Davidson Center, the southern excavations, you're way below the level of Har HaBayit. You have to enter the doorways, and even when you enter those doorways, you're below ground. You have to come upstairs within Har HaBayit to come up. So what happened is that when they expanded Har HaBayit, when Herod expanded Har HaBayit, the walls that they put up, the Kotel HaMaravi, and all of the walls are there, not just Kotel HaMaravi, the eastern, northern, well, northern wall doesn't really need to be there, but mostly it's the eastern, western and southern walls are all there. In order to expand Har HaBayit, they put up those retaining walls to fill in the mountain. When they fill in the mountain, the skew of filling in was to the south and the west. The original mountain and bedrock, where the Kodesh HaKodeshim would be more to the north and more to the west. So Har HaBayit, or where the Mikdash was found, whereas where Shlomo HaMelech put it, on the top of Har HaMoriah, where the Kodesh HaKodeshim needed to be. But as they expanded the mountain shifted, or the expansion was to the west and the south. And that results in what they say over here, that more of the empty space was towards the south and the east, because that was where they expanded the mountain. When they built out the mountain, the original mountain, or the original bedrock, is towards the northwest. And then as they expand the mountain, they want to flatten it out. They did put built those retaining walls and filled in to the east side and the southern side. And that's probably the reason behind why the skew is this way. And that left you with the larger spaces on the southern side and the eastern side on top of Har HaBayit, the skew of the Mikdash towards where the original Mikdash of Shlomo HaMelech was. Again, if you go through the tunnels, it's the most obvious you can see as the bedrock climbs there, that the topography is different. So that's the Har HaBayit itself. Now, Kol HaNichnasim La Har HaBayit, Nichnasim Derech Yamin. Very famous Mishnah. Anybody who comes into Har HaBayit always goes to the right. That means that whatever gate you entered, you then went around Har HaBayit in a counterclockwise manner. You turned to your right as you entered and you went around. Even though your destination was to your left, you have to walk around to your right until you got to your destination. Makifin, Biotzin Derech Smol. You go all the way around, and then you exit to the left. The left meaning that you've come around counterclockwise until you hit the point where you want to exit. You do whatever you have to do there, and then you exit at the doorways when you go around, continue around. Chutz, there are exceptions to this. Mishiro davar. It's not that something bad happened to them. Shumakif, the small. He does just the opposite of everybody else. He goes against the traffic. This person who enters goes to the left, goes clockwise. So he's running against the flow of the people walking around. People would say to him, Malacha, makif, the small. They're coming, they bump into this guy. He's walking against the flow of traffic. They say to him, what are you doing walking this way? Why are you walking clockwise and not counterclockwise? Shani, avel. So he says, the reason is because I'm an avel. Person's an avel, and therefore he goes the opposite way. So then they said, Ashokhein, babayt azeh, inachamecha. They gave him a wish, basically, Amakom Yinachem Etchem. They gave him a wish that the Shochein Bebayit Hazeh, the Shechina that is present here, should give you Nechama. This is a way for them to publicize the Avelut, and for people to be able to Menachem this Avel. Shani Medudeh, the other person who did this was someone who was put into excommunication. So then people would wish him, Shochein Bebayit Hazeh, Yitain Libam, it's gotta be Bilibam, Yikarbucha. Says that they should change, have a change of heart. Those people who put you into excommunication, and Hashem should bring that about. So, Dibrei Rabbi Meir, Amalei Rabbi Yossi, Asitim Gilu Avru Alav Et Adin. You're making it sound like the people who put him to excommunication are the problem. The problem is him, not the people who put him into excommunication. Ella, what should you say? Shochein Babayit Hazeh, Tein Bilibcha, B'Tishma LeDibrei Chavarecha V'Kirbucha. The other way around, that Hashem should make you more pliable, more flexible, and you should accept the words of your friends, and therefore that we tract the excommunication, as the Rambam writes here in the Perusha Mishnayo, Divir Rabbi Yossi Emet. What Rabbi Yossi says over here makes a lot of sense, and therefore we wish him that he should change his ways in order that they remove the excommunication. But the fact that everybody went in one direction, as soon as someone went against the flow, that was an indication there was something wrong, and they would cause for inquiring about their status, about why we were doing this, and the ability to give them a brach or give them a nechama. Beautiful idea, beautiful Mishnah. Right now, back to the description of Har HaBayit. So, Lifnim Mimenu. Lifnim Mimenu means within Har HaBayit. So, closer into Har HaBayit was the Sureg. The Sureg was Gvoa Yud Tfachim, 10 Tfachim high. The Shloshesre Pratzot Avuba. There were 13 breaches in the Sureg. Shepratzum Melchei Yavan. That the king of Yavan, or the Greeks, when they took over Har HaBayit, they created those 13 breaches in the Sureg. Now the Sureg, according to the Rishonim, you can see that described here in the Rash uses the word lattice. It was a lattice woodwork to create some sort of demarcation that was 10 tefachim high. The only problem is that if you look in Josephus, Josephus says it's actually made out of stone, not made out of wood. It could be that later on it was originally wood and later on they made it into a stone wall around. What it served as is not necessarily clear, but from the description of the Mishnah, it seems to me that it was a demarcation beyond which non-Jews were not allowed to pass. It was the last point upon Har HaBayit non-Jews were allowed to go to was to the Sureg. Now, in terms of halachically, there is no halachic ramifications or reason for this. It seems to be that it was a harchaka of sorts that said that this is the end point for the Nechri. Only Jews beyond this point. Could be that the Sureg was around the original platform of Shlomo HaMelech. Could be that it matched up with that, it's not clear. Could be that it was demarcating the old Har HaBayit. Beyond that point, they did not allow in the Nachrim. They only allowed them on the newer sections of Har HaBayit, which were not necessarily as Kadosh or Nitkadesh with the Kedushat Har HaBayit of the original platform of Har HaBayit. Probably both, a mixture of both. Again, it doesn't seem to be that it's halachically based in terms of their inability to walk on Har HaBayit. They should be allowed to go on Har HaBayit. Because Tumat Amet is allowed on Har HaBayit. Tumat Amet is allowed in Machane Leviyah. If they're a Zav, they're not allowed on Har HaBayit at all. It's not clear to me what the demarcation is. But it's obvious from here that the Malchei Laban took offense to this, And they breached the Sereg to show that they could go beyond that point. So that's why they breached the wall here. Then when the Chashmonaim Gavru, Chashmonaim returned, Chazru v'Gardum, they fixed those breaches, v'Gazru, and when Zerak Negdan, Yudgimel Hashtecha Vayot. They used to bow down 13 times, not that you had to go to these places, but when you passed one of these breaches that had been rectified, renovated, and fixed, there you'd have to bow down to give Hodah Hashem that he had returned the dominance or the ascendancy of Klal Yisrael back to Har HaBayit. Lifnim imenu, inside of the Sureg is the Chel. Now the Chel is Eser Amot. It gives that it's Eser Amot. Doesn't here give any description of height or demarcation. It seems to be that that was the width of the Chel. Most likely that the Sureg demarcated the beginning of the Chel, and the Chel then was 10 Amot. Ushnemasar Malot Ayusham. There were 12 stairs over there. Now these stairs are that went around the entire Mikdash. These are 12 stairs to bring you up to the Mikdash. Platform of the Mikdash is higher than Har HaBayit. And we're going to see this all along here, that the Har HaBayit was a certain level. Then the Mikdash itself is above that level. And even within the Mikdash, as you move from the eastern side, Ezrat Nashim, to the Kodesh HaKodeshim, you're going to see it's going to be elevated more and more. The platform is going to get higher and higher to the location until you are 22 Amot. The Heichal is 22 Amot above the level of Har HaBayit. Right, so now you have 12 Ma'alot HaYusham. There were 12 stairs there within the Chel. Roma Lechatzi Ama. The height of the stair was half Ama. Bishulcha. And the depth of the stair was a Chatzi Ama. And that's Kol Ma'alot HaYusham. Every stair that was found in the Mikdash on Har HaBayit was this way. Roma Lechatzi Ama. Bishulcha Chatzi Ama. Half a ma up, half a ma in depth, those were all the stairs. Chutz Mishel Ulam. The only exception to that, and we'll get that later, are the stairs up to, the 12 stairs up to the Ulam, which were in sets of three. They had two regular stairs and then one longer stair. We'll see that when we get there. The stairs then, if you took a look about the stairs, they were 6 amot in depth. 12 stairs that have a depth of half a ma each gives you 6 amot. So of the 10 amot of the Chel, there was 4 amot that was flat, and then the remaining 6 amot, as you got closer to the Mikdash, was the staircase that moved up. Again, not a staircase in the sense of a small staircase, but it circumscribed the entire Mikdash. There was this stairs that brought up the platform of the Mikdash. Kol ha'ptachim shayusham, all the doorways in the Mikdash, gov'an chafama, were 20 amot high, virochvan eser amot, and they were 10 amot wide, chutz, mishal ulam. Exception to that is the ulam, the front entranceway to the Eichal. There, it was double the size. It was 20 amot wide and 40 amot high. Kol ha'ptachim sheyusham ha'yalem deltot. All the doorways had actual doorways that they could close. Chutz mishel ulam. The exception of the ulam, which had a parochet, probably a lot to do with the size of the doorway, being 40 amot high and 20 amot wide, would make it very hard to have doorways that could be supported by the structure and fit in there. So they used a parochet instead of doorways in that area. Kol ha'sharim sheyu sham ayu lahem shkufot. All of the doorways that were in the Mikdash had a lintel on top. They had mezuzot, they had side posts, and then they had a lintel across the top of the structure of Chus Mishel Tadi. The only one, or Tadi, the only one was this one exception on the northern side. There was a gateway called Tadi, Shayu Sham Shnei Avanim Mutot Zu Az Gubizu. It's not built with a flat, but seems to be some sort of triangular top to it. He had two stones that leaned against each other. That was the shaping of that doorway. Again, no explanation why or why in particular that doorway was that way, but that was true of this northern doorway. Kol HaShe'arim Shayu Sham Nishtanu Liot Shel Zahav. After they became more wealthy during the Bayit Sheni, they changed out all the doorways that originally had been made out of copper to gold or gold-plated doors. Chutz Mishar Nikanor, except for Nikanor, which is the eastern doorway into the Azara, the Azrat Yisrael. That doorway was made out of copper. Mipnei Shenaseh Ben Nis, because of the miracle that happened to them. V'yesh Omrim, and some say Mipnei Shenichushtan Matziv. Their copper was so shiny that it looked like gold. It's interesting over here, when we talk about the shining, the Rambam over here in Perish Mishnah, it says, Uperish Matziv, Yarok, Kain Zahav, green like Zahav. We know that, and this is in one of the indications, that the Yarok in the Gemara does not mean green. Yarok in the Gemara is a much more yellow color, or yellowish color, in the Gemara Yarok. When you want to say green in the Gemara, it's Yarak Reket. It's more of a green color, but yellow is Yarok in general, has a more yellowish tint to it. Now, the miracle is described in the Gemara and Yoma. Nicanor, which who the doors are named after, had commissioned the doors to be built in Mitzrayim, and then he was bringing them back. He was shipping them back through the Mediterranean to bring them back to Eretz Yisrael. They bumped into a storm in the Mediterranean that was going to sink the ship and insisted on throwing the doors, which were extremely heavy. They thought would cause the ship to sink. They threw one of the doors overboard. It didn't stop the storm, and therefore they wanted to throw the next door overboard. Nicanor grabs a hold of the door and says, "You throw it over, I go with it." So they were nice enough not to throw the second door over. And as soon as that happened, then they agreed not to throw the door over. The storm stopped, the waters quieted, and they were able to keep the door. But Nicanor was very upset because he had lost the other door that he was bringing back for the Mikdash. And he was distraught over the fact that he lost the door until they got to Namel Shel Akko. They got him pulled into the port of Akko. And as they pull into the port of Akko, all of a sudden they see under the boat, bobbing up from under the boat is the other doorway. And so they were able to bring both doorways and put them up. And that's the miracle that they're speaking about here. And that's why they kept the doors, because of the miraculous nature of those doors. All the walls there were higher. I mean, if we talk about the doorway having a doorpost and a lintel on top, if the doorways are 10 amot wide and 20 amot high, that means that the walls have to be higher than the doorways. That means that the walls exceeded 20 amot. They had to be more than 20 amot high in order to have the doors be 10 amot by 20 amot high. Chutz, Mikotel HaMizrachi, except for the eastern side where the eastern entrance to the Mikdash was called Shar Shushan HaBira. It was called the Shar Shushan HaBira, either for Kavod LaMalchut, when they originally built it. Persian Empire was the one who gave them permission to build the Mikdash. It says Kavod LaMalchut, or as a demonstration of certain amount of servitude to the Persian Empire, they had called the Shar Shushan HaBira, which is on the eastern side.
Or as Hoda'ah to Hashem, bringing them back from the Galut in Persia.
The reason that that doorway or that wall on that side was lower than the other walls has to do with the Avodah of the Parah Aduma. Because Shakoin Asurefet HaParah, the person who does Srefet HaParah for the Parah Aduma, Umeid, where is he standing? Berosh HaRamishcha. On top of Har Mishcha is what we know today as Har Zeitim. So it's done on Har Zeitim. Har Zeitim is on the eastern side of the Mikdash. It's towards the eastern side of Har Bayit. If he's up there on Har Bayit, one of the requirements of the Kohen Asurivita Para is that he be able to do it Petach Omoed. When he does the Azat Adam of the Parah Aduma, he has to be able to do the Azah Neged, the Petach of Omoed. So because of that, we had to create a way that he could see from Har Zeitim all the way into Petach HaEichal. So over here, if we know, and I mentioned this before, the platform of the Heichal is 22 Amot above Har HaBayit. That is because we just had now from the Chel, you had those 12 stairs that rose 6 Amot. Inside of the Azara, from the Azrat Nashim to the Azrat Yisrael, we're going to see in a second, there were 15 stairs. Wherever they're connected, there's 15 Shir HaMalot. Those 15 stairs are an additional 7.5 amot, 13.5 amot. To Ezrat Israel and Ezrat Kohanim, there's another 2.5 amot. So that gets you to 16 amot. And then the stairs up to Ulam are 6 amot. That gets you a total of 22 amot. So the platform of the Echal is 22 amot above the platform of Har HaBayit. So now if I'm looking from Har HaZeitim over the wall, if the wall exceeds 20 amot, or a lot over 20 amot, it's going to start to block the ability to see into the door of the Eichal. So by keeping the eastern wall low, the Kohen Gadol was able to see over, above the eastern wall of Har HaBayit, yet still be looking into the Petach Eichal. All the Petachim were lined up. That means Shar Shushan HaBira, the Shar Ezrat Nashim, Shar Nikanor of the Azara, Shar Ulam and Shar Eichal, they're all lined up. Problem is that they're not on the same level. So if I keep the eastern wall of the Har HaBayit low enough, then he was able to peer through the doorways straight all the way up to the Petach HaEichal. So that's why they kept the eastern wall lower than all the other walls, in order for the Kohen Gadol to see above that wall through the doorways of the Ezrat Nashim, Shar Nikanor, to the Ulam, and then to the Eichal. And therefore, mitkavim roe pitcho shel Eichal b'shat hazayat adam. When he's doing the sprinkling of dam for the Parah Aduma, you have to do 7 times, keneged Petach HaMoed. He does that on Har HaZeitim, he's able then to see the Petach HaEichal. Now we move to Ezrat HaNashim. Ezrat HaNashim is the most eastern part of the Mikdash. You enter into Ezrat HaNashim, I thought the size of Ezrat HaNashim was square, Orech 135, Arochav 135. It's 135 by 135 Amot, to square area as you enter in. Remember, you're coming up from the chel, you come up 6 amot, with a throw of 6 amot, depth of 6 amot, you enter into the Ezrat Nashim. V'dalad nishkot ayu, v'dalad miktzoteh. There were 4 chambers in the 4 corners of the Ezrat Nashim. Shomem mem ama. There were 40 amot. It's not clear what that means, the 40 amot. Here, again, in Masechet Midot, when they built the Bayit Sheni, especially when they did the renovations of Herod, they built it based on the Nevuot of Ezra,
proportional to the Mikdash of Shlomo,
as well as parts of Nevuot of Yechezkel. It's not clear here. I think the Rosh mentions it here. It's not clear whether those Lishkot were inside the Ezrat Hanashim or outside the Ezrat Hanashim. It's not clear if they were in the 4 corners internally or they were external to the size of Ezrat Hanashim. Over here, a lot of people assume that they were 40 by 40 amot. They were square 40 amot. In the Yechezkel, it says that they were 40 amot by 30 amot deep. So it's not clear from the Mishnah if they meant 40 by 40, or they meant that like Yechezkel, it's 40 amot wide, and they're not giving you the depth, which was 30 amot. Mikurot, they did not have roofs over them. They were open, they were chambers that had open tops to them. And that is true in the future, and now they quote the Pasuk from Yechezkel, Shinemar, Yutinu la chatzer achitzuna, chatzer achitzuna being the Ezrat Nashim, vavirenu la bat miktzoe achatzer, to the 4 corners of this chatzer, vinei chatzer bimiktzoa, and there was a chamber and in the corners, a chatzer, vigomer ba'arbaat miktzoot achatzer chatzerot kitzurot. There were these 4 chambers in the corners of the chatzer, kitzurot. The word kitzurot, vein kitzurot, ela she'en mikurot. What does it mean, kitzurot? Kitzurot means that they didn't have a roof on it. Most of the Rishonim explain Keturot means there's no roof on it because Keter means a shan, smoke that goes up. The only way you can have smoke that goes up if there's no roof. So Keturot means without a roof. What was the purpose of these chambers? Dromit Mizrachit. The southeastern chamber, he aita lishkat ha-nizirim. There's the lishkat ha-nizirim, shisham nizirim, mivashlim et shal mehem. That's where the nizirim cook their shlamim, umigalchim et se'aram. And they shave their hair. Mushachim tachad adod, and they take the hair and they put it under the cauldron. That has got to do with Alocha. A Nazir who comes to be Mitayerim himself brings 3 carbonot, brings an Ola, a Chatat, and a Shlamim. The Shlamim, which is known as the Shalmei Nazir, has Lechem that comes with it, not bread, but Matzot that come along with the Shlamim. There's also a requirement that it be Mivushal b'makom Kadosh, because the Zra b'Sheila. The Zerah B'Sheilah of the Shalmei Nazir goes to the Kohen. So it has to remain in a Makom Kadosh. Therefore, they cooked it inside of the Mikdash, meaning the Ezrat Nashim, but inside the confines of the Mikdash. The Nazir also has to cut his hair, and then use that hair to cook under the fire of the Shlamim. So this room was designated for that purpose, of the cutting of the hair of the Shlamim, as shaving the hair of the Shlamim, as well as placing it under the Dud, under the cauldron, in order to cook the Shlamim in the Makom Kadosh. Then, Mizrachit Tzvonit, the northeastern side. We're doing the 2 eastern ones. Remember, you enter the Mikdash from the eastern side. So they did Ezrat Hanashim when you enter in from the eastern side. The one to the left, which is what we just described, was the Dromit Mizrachit. Now the one to the right, as you enter, was the Mizrachit Tzvonit, northeastern one. Iaita Lishkat Ha'itzim. That was the chamber of the wood. Shishama Kohanim Balei Mumim. A Kohen Baal Mum cannot do a vote in the Mikdash. He took on the job of Matlin et Eitzim. They check the wood for rot or worms inside of it, and they make sure that any wood that's going to go to the Mizbeach is appropriate for the Mizbeach, is properly dried out, not rotting, and does not have worms in it. And that's for what we said before in Menachot, that any wood that has rot or worms in it is not ra'oi to go on the Mizbeach. So as you move to the further end of the Ezrat Nashim, if you look on the northwestern side, which would be to the right, on the western side of the Ezrat Hanashim, he had Lishkat Mitzoraim. That was Lishka for those that were Mitzorat. And there it's because they had to prepare themselves, go to the mikveh, in order to do their Asham. The Asham Mitzorah is done at the process of Asham Mitzorah is done right at Shar Nikanor, the entrance to the Azara. The entrance to the Azara, on the Mitzorah, they put the Dama Asham, as well as the Shemin, that Log Shemin that he brought. They have to put on his bone, Yadam, Veraglam, on their thumbs, their big toes, and their Ozen, on the inside of their ear. So that had to all be done at Shar Nikanor, but they had to be Mitara themselves to go towards the Azara. So they went to the Mikveh in the Lishkat HaMitzoraim, and then they came up to the Shar Azara to be Mitara themselves. Marvit Dromit, the southwestern chamber, which is again on the left side as you come the furthest in. Amar Rabbi Lezer ben Yaakov, shechachti ma'ashayta mishameshet. I forgot what the purpose was. This is the indication that the author of Midot was Rabbi Lezer ben Yaakov. He says, it seems to me that he's the one who's saying all this, and now he says, I forgot what it was. Abishol Omer, Shema Yunodim Yain B'Shemen. That was the storage area for the wine and the oil. He Aita Nikreit, Lishkat Bet Shmanaya. That was called the storehouse of the oil. And that was the facilities for oil and for wine for the Mikdash. Achalaka ita birosha. So it was originally, birishona, in the beginning, it was a flat area, Ezrat Nashim. Ezrat Nashim was all one surface. Then, vikifua kitzutra. Later on, they surrounded it with either pillars or projections out of the wall. Shanashim ra'ot milamalan v'nashim milamatan. They created a balcony in the Ezrat HaNashim so that the men could be on the lower level and the women could be on the upper level. Kadei shelo yu muravim. So they would not be mixed during Simchat Beit HaShoeva. This is described in the Gemara and Sukkah. They made this tikkun in the Bigdash for the celebrations of the Simchat Beit HaShoeva, which took place in the Ezrat HaNashim. And one of these tikkunim was exactly this. This separation between the men and the women, that the men would be below, and they built this upper level that allowed the women not to be mixed with the men, but to participate in the Simchat Beit HaShoeva. Some of the dinim of today's modern mechitzah are learned out from this. Rav Moshe Feinstein, in his Tshuvot, quotes the Raivud, Perush Raivud, that describes this issue about the mechitzah in order to discuss what his belief of the mechitzah is. Just so you know that this is one of the major sources for mechitzah, separation of men and women. Tedva ma'alot olot mitocha. This is what I said before. There are 15 stairs that rise from the Ezrat HaNashim to the Ezrat Yisrael. Mitocha the Ezrat Yisrael. Kineged. Tedva ma'alot shebeteilim. The 15 shir ha'malot that are found in Sefer Teilim. That's the 15 stairs upon which shaleim alevim omrim b'shir. That's where they sang the shir of the shir ha'malot. It also, according to so many people, is the reason that in the Haggadah, there's only one mention of really the Mikdash and Yerushalayim inside of the Haggadah, and that is in the Dayenu. The Dayenu has Kamalot Tovot HaSalanu HaKadosh Baruch Hu, has 15 Malot. So many want to suggest that's connected to the 615 Shir HaMalot that's found here, or the 15 stairs that enter from the Ezrat Yisrael to from the Ezrat Nashim to the Ezrat Yisrael. Lo Yu Trutot. They were not normal stairways, which are squared out. They were mukufot kechatzi goren agula. They were like half a goren, which is circular. They were half circle. So the stairs, as opposed to like the stairs we said before of the chel, or the stairs of ulam, which were squared out, over here, the staircase from the Ezrat Nashim to the Ezrat Yisrael were a semicircle. Smaller and smaller semicircles that rose towards the Ezrat Yisrael. Again, if you have 15 stairs, each one going up a half a ma, and going in half a ma, that means that you're rising from the Ezrat Nashim to the Ezrat Yisrael, you're rising 7.5 amot. The next thing is Lishkotayu. If you really think about it, so you have the Ezrat Nashim, that is 7.5 amot below the Ezrat Yisrael, means that when you're inside of the Ezrat Nashim walking towards the staircase, to the right and left of the staircase, you're looking at a wall. It's the right and left of the staircase where you can store things. Because you are looking at a wall that's rising. There's a wall like this, the stairs are going up on the sides of the wall, to the left and right of the wall. You're looking at underneath the floor of the Ezrat Yisrael. So over there, they had lishkot ayu tachat Ezrat Yisrael, ptuchot Ezrat Nashim. Over there, they had store areas. V'sham ha'levim notim kinorot minevalim u'metzaltayim v'chol klei shir. Where the Levim stored their musical instruments. Those doorways to the right and left of that staircase going up. Ezrat Yisrael. Now you move into Ezrat Yisrael. Aita orech me'ama v'shloshim v'chamesh. 135 amot long. Now over here, long really means wide. In the Mishnah as well as in the Tanakh, whenever you have the longer distance, is automatically called the orech. So over here, they call this the orech, even though it's really the width. It's the same width as the Ezrat Nashim. It's 11 amot deep inward. Once you pass through the Shaar Nikanor, 11 amot in, that is Ezrat Yisrael. V'chein Ezrat Kohanim. Beyond that, there's the Ezrat Kohanim, which is also the same size. Kufa ma v'lamed hei arochav. It's now 135 long by rochav yudalef, and 11 deep. So it's 22 amot deep until you reach the Mizbeach by 135 amot wide. For Oshay Pispisim, Mabdil ben Ezrat Yisrael, Ezrat Kohanim. There were some sort of either projectiles coming out of the wall that separated between Ezrat Yisrael and Ezrat Kohanim, or from the word pispes, which would be mosaic. there was a mosaic on the floor, or here the Rosh says that there was some sort of wooden inlay in the floor that gave indication of where the Ezrat Yisrael stopped and the Ezrat Kohanim went. Avdil ben Ezrat Yisrael, Ezrat Kohanim. Rabbi Lezer ben Yaakov Omer Maleh Aita. There was stairs that actually went, it elevated from the Ezrat Yisrael to Ezrat Kohanim. Gvo Amma. The first stairway was an Amma high. Ve'duchin, and then on top of that there was a duchin natun aleha, placed on top of it, uvash shlosh malot. It had three stairs, shechatzi chatzi amah. Each stair is a half an amah. So that gets you 1.5 amot rise in the duchin, plus 1 amah rise from the first stair. So that's 2.5 amot rise. Nimtzait, Ezrat Kohanim, Gvam Ezrat Yisrael, Ezrat Kohanim was higher than Ezrat Yisrael, Shtei Amot Umechsa, 2.5 Amot. We were discussing before, the rise here, this is 2.5 Amot, that's the area on which the Kohanim Duchen, that's where they gave the Brachot to Klal Yisrael, Birkat Kohanim. So the beginning of Ezrat Leviim, which is the stairs from Ezrat Nashim to Ezrat Yisrael, that's where Leviim did their Shira. From the Ezrat Yisrael to the Ezrat Kohanim, where it rose from there, that's where Kohanim did their bracha, that's where they did the Birkat Kohanim, and that duchen over there. Kol Ezara ita orech 187, rochav 135. The entire Ezra, including the Ezrat Yisrael and Ezrat Kohanim, was 135 wide by 187 deep. In the third parak, they'll come back again, describing how they get to this 187 of depth. We're not going to do that now. Gimel Ashtar Chaveyot Ayusham. There were 13 bowing downs in that area. So some say this is the same 13 we're talking about from the Soreg before, but Rabbi Yossi ben Chanan Omer Keneged Yud Gimel Sharim. Rabbi Yossi says these three bowing downs were connected to the 13 gateways into the Azara. The Tana Kama or Rabbi Yossi ben Yaakov thinks there were 7 gateways into the Azara. On the other hand, Yossi ben Chanan says there were 13 gateways. Dromim, on the southern side, that means to the left as you enter in, Smuchim Lamarav, the furthest west, it means furthest away from the entrance into the Azara, Shar Elyon, you have the upper gateway, Shar HaDelek, the fuel gate, which is where they brought the Eitzim in for the Mizbeach, Shar HaBichorot, the Bichorot, because they are Kochim Kalim, it can be brought in on the southern side, because they don't have to be shechted on the northern side, Shar HaMayim, and then the Shar HaMayim is the fourth one, V'damei Krash Shmo Shar HaMayim, what was it called? The gate of water, Shor HaMachasim Tzlochit Shomayim. That's where they brought in the pitcher of water, Shor Nisuch B'chag, for Nisuch HaMayim, and the Chag, they brought it in to put the libations on the Mizbeach. That's also before when we saw the Shar HaNitzotz in the Mishnah and Tamid, and the first Mishnah Yodir in Midot, that sat above the Shar HaMayim. Blessed Yaakov Ober, Bo Ma'amayim Mefachim, V'atidim Liot, Yotzim, Mitachem Miftan HaBayit. It's based on the Nevuah of Yechezkel, L'atid Avod, there'll be a stream that comes out from Har HaBayit, or from the Mikdash to the Har HaBayit, they'll go out that doorway, and that's why it's called Shar HaMayim. Ulumatam B'Tzafon. On the northern side, you have 4 connected them, Smuchim L'Marav, skewed to the western side, Shar Yechonia, the gateway of Yechonia, which the Mishnah will explain exactly what that is, Shar Korban, Shar Karbanot, because Kodesh Kodeshim had to be brought on the northern side and shechted on the northern side. So they brought the Karbanot through there. Shar Nashim, the women's entrance, so they could do smicha on their Karbanot. So they had an entranceway where they could lean in and do their smicha. Now, there is a Dayan in the Gemara that they didn't do smicha, so it meant that they could oversee their Karbanot. There was an area where they could see it. Shar Ashir, the gateway of the Shir, why was that called the gate of Yechonia? Shebo Yatza Yechonia Begaluto. When he went out to Galut, when Nebuchadnezzar sends him into Galut, he goes and bows in the Mikdash, and then leaves through Shar Yechonia, goes out through that doorway to go into Galut. No, Bayit Rishon, Yechonia. This is Bayit Sheni, but that doorway is a reminder of what happened in Bayit Rishon. Yechonia is put into Galut in Bayit Rishon. So now, Shar Nikanor, on the eastern side of Shar Nikanor, which we discussed already, Ubet Pishpeshim Ayu Lo, Echad Mino Bechetz Malo, they had sub-gates on the right and left of the doorway. And then on the western side, Shnayim B'Marav, on the western side, they were 2 doorways. Layim Shem, they didn't have names because nobody entered from the west. That means you're coming in from behind the Kodesh HaKodeshim. They were not active doorways. If you add them up, you have 4 on the north, 4 on the south, that's 8. 2 on the western side is 10. And Shani Kanor is really made up of 3 doorways. 1 big and 2 smaller ones, that's 3. That gets you the 13 Sharim. And that's what Yossi ben Chanan says, they bow down 13 times, connected the Sharim. If you enter the Shari, you pass the Shari, you bow down to give Hodah Hashem al Mikdash. Okay, we'll stop here.